Okay, welcome back, everybody. Let me bring up the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa. We missed a little bit here. So bringing everyone back into focus, we had our Neiros Chanukah, and now we are centering on Neiros Shabbos. It's actually interesting, and this has been happening again and again. In the morning after Shachar, so we do a Dvar Halacha out of the Kedusha Shulchan Aruch. Happens to be that right now we're also doing Hadlakas Neiros. So this gives an opportunity for husbands and wives to talk shop with one another about the halachas that everybody's learning together. It's a beautiful thing when this happens in the context of Shul learning. And let's dive right into the topic at hand this evening, the subtopic anyway, which is time and place. Okay. Get into Zman Umakom. Give me one second here. Zman Umakom Hadlaka. Yeah, this is okay. This is up. Everybody can see this. We're good. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. Great. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Beautiful. Thanks. Excellent. Thumbs up. Excellent. Zman u'makom ha'adlaka. Let's dive right in. Zman ha'adlaka shel Neiros Shabbos. What exactly is the time for Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos? This is going to be sort of anticlimactic here a little bit, but the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa says that Sha'akala Kodim Shkia Sachama. It's some small measure of time in advance of Shkia Sachama. So it's worth pointing out that between the period of Shkia Sachama, sunset, and Seisa Kochavim, real, genuine, bona fide nightfall, that is a period of time in Halacha referred to as Bein Hashmashos. And this is a time that is always treated in Halacha as effectively being a suffix. We are in doubt. There is an implicit, inherent doubt during this time of the day as to whether this is still considered to be the previous day or if this is the next day. This has all kinds of different ramifications in halacha. Most notably, and probably occurring most frequently and recurring most frequently, is when it comes to Shabbos. We need to assume that Shabbos really genuinely starts as soon as the sun goes down on Friday evening, I guess we'll call it. So on Erev Shabbos, leading into what we call Shabbos, when we have sunset, Shkia Sachama, we need to presume that Shabbos really begins from that time because it may well already be the next day. It is possible that the next day only begins at Seisa Kochavim. That's possible. And again, this leads to other kinds of considerations when it comes to a calculation of what day something took place. A bris milah, when was the baby born? As long as it's after Shkia, we assume that it was really the next day. Obviously, when it comes to Yom Tov as well. On the flip side, of course, we assume that Shabbos only ends and Yom Tov only ends once we get to Tseis HaKochavim, not only sunset on Shabbos day, but really nightfall, genuine nightfall, stars coming out of Motzei Shabbos. So that's the time period at which Shabbos certainly begins. When it comes to Hadlakas Neiros, when it comes to lighting Neiros Shabbos, so the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa writes that we need to do so some measure of time in advance of Shkia. You can't wait until after Shkia because then Shabbos has already begun. You certainly can't light then. More on that in a little bit. But he notes that kol makom u'minhago, each place according to its minhag. He does give a couple of possible minhagim. And let's say there is no clear minhag in the place in which you live. Ein minhag kavua b'makom. If there is no clear and established set minhag in the location in which you live or in the location in which you happen to find yourself, I guess, Yadlik kemachtzis hasha'a, then the Neiros should be lit a half hour before. Olefachos esrim daka, or at least let's say 20 minutes before kodim hashkia, kodim latzeis yidei kol hadeos. That way you're yotze according to everybody. I think it is pretty widespread that at least in Chutz La'aretz, that most have the minhag of 18 minutes in advance of shkia. In Eretz Yisrael, there are all kinds of different minhagim, particularly based upon where you are. Yerushalayim being more machmir than other places, but different communities, different cities, different locales have their own minhag as to when it is that we light. The purpose, though, and the point is that we do light in advance, some measure of time in advance of Shkia. This helps us to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos may well be a mitzvah d'oraisa to specifically add on to the length of time the Shabbos is really supposed to be. And as we just noted, Shabbos really is not only a 24-hour period, but it's a 25-hour period because of this, more or less, because of this suffix, because of the concern that the day and Shabbos may actually start with Shkia Sachama, with sunset, not only real nightfall. So we're talking about really starting Shabbos some measure of time, some bit of time in advance of Shkia Sachama. That's a very, very important minhag to address, to be conscious of, and to actually fulfill. We do so if we're actually beginning Shabbos and we're Mekabel Shabbos, with lighting of Neiros Shabbos. That is going to be a conversation that we'll get into after this subsection here. We'll deal with the principle, the question of whether you necessarily automatically are Mekabel Shabbos as soon as you light Neros Shabbos. Okay, so some measure of time in advance of Shkiyas HaChama, again, each place according to its minhag. Yud Beis, L'chatchili yesh l'hadlik ba'ofen shehi nikar. Ideally, the lighting should take place at such a time that it becomes clear, that it can be discerned, shehadlaka hi l'chvod Shabbos, that the reason why you're lighting Neros Shabbos is for the purpose of Kavod Shabbos. To some degree, right, maybe this is like we've developed or thought about maybe the following hack. Erev Shabbos is always a crazy, crazy day. We're always crazy busy. We're running to the last minute. It doesn't matter if Shabbos starts at 4:15 or 8:15. We're running. We're down to the wire every single time. Maybe I beat the system. Let me get a whole bunch of, 24-hour like yahrzeit candles, and I'll set those up as my Erev Shabbos, and I'll light them in the middle of the afternoon, and I'll just know that I'm done. I'll know that I'm yotzei, that whatever else may happen, whatever else may come up, baby gets shampoo in her eyes in the bathtub 5 minutes before I'm ready to light Erev Shabbos, then at least I know that I'm already set because I've already lit them earlier on in the day. So to this, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa notes that's really not appropriate. That's really not ideal. We should be lighting Erev Shabbos as I think we usually do, usually huffing and puffing and trying to make sure that at least that if we're not already into the 18 minutes that we're at least at the zman that we should be at. But we do so closer to Shabbos. This way it becomes clear, and this is not just because we procrastinate because we wait till the last minute, but really it's in order to indicate that the reason why I'm doing this is for the purpose of Shabbos, not that I've already had candles lit at an earlier point in the day. You can imagine how much more relevant and how much more resonant this would have been a number of generations ago when the primary source of light in one's home was candles. This is something that's totally lost on us when we talk about like Neros Chanukah, that ein lanu rishus leshtamesh b'hem ela lir osam bilvad. You can't really use the light of the candles. You can only look at them. Yeah, shkayach. Like, what did you think I was going to use this olive oil candelabra for? What could I possibly, if I want to use light, I'll flick the switch and I'll sit and I'll read a book. Why in the world would I want to? And there are other halachas about how you're supposed to davka keep your Neros Chanukah away from where you keep other lights and where you keep other candles. The whole idea of trying to illuminate our homes with candles is really, really foreign at this point. But we should be conscious of the fact that once upon a time, certainly, this was de rigueur. This is how people would, of course, illuminate their homes. And therefore, to make a point specifically of lighting Neros Shabbos, and we do so even today, we make a point of lighting Neros Shabbos closer to Shabbos to provide the indication that this is for the purpose of Kavod Shabbos. You really shouldn't light too prematurely in advance of the Zman. You light at the Zman, because if you did so, then it wouldn't be discernible that the reason why you're lighting is for the purpose of Shabbos. However, if a person is being Mekabel Shabbos through lighting Neros, if Chavdal, we'll talk about this a little bit later, right? Have I automatically accepted Shabbos by virtue of the fact that I lit Neros Shabbos? Let's assume for at least argument's sake for now that yes, indeed you do. So meaning, let's say I want to start Shabbos early, which is really what he's dealing with now. Let's say it's a summer Shabbos and I davka want to light early. I davka want to be Mekabel Shabbos early. Am I bound by this fixed Zman? If my minhag is 18 minutes before Shkia is the appropriate time, Zman Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. So am I forced? Do I have to davka wait until then? No, if you're lighting Neros Shabbos as a means of accepting Shabbos and you're planning on starting Shabbos early, then fine, light Neros Shabbos early whenever it is that you plan that you intend on trying to be Mekabel Shabbos. Be conscious of the following, that the absolute bottom, the absolute floor for being Mekabel Shabbos is Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is 1.25 hours in advance of Shkia, and you can look it up on Ma'izmanim to determine exactly when that is, because of course these are halachic hours, so it's a little bit more challenging to calculate, Baruch Hashem, for Ma'izmanim. But at any rate, that's the earliest possible time that you can really light Neros Shabbos. Dahinu kushaz manis v'reva kodem hashkia. It is 1.25 halachic hours in advance of Shkia Sacham, in advance of sunset. Do not light Do not light before Plag HaMincha. If you light before Plag HaMincha, it's meaningless. And actually, in fact, if you are Mekabel Shabbos before Plag HaMincha, that is also meaningless. Even if you say so out loud, you say, I'm here by Mekabel Shabbos in the middle of the afternoon, broad daylight, well in advance of Plag HaMincha, that's really meaningless. Af b'dieved lo yatsa. You're not yotzei b'dieved. It's a zero. It's a nothing. Get this. How far does this go? We're really serious about how this was a zero and a nothing. V'tzarech l'chabos esaneros. So meaningless was that Kabbalah Shabbos that extinguished the flame, which is, of course, a malacha if done on Shabbos. That's an Isur da'araisa if done on Shabbos. You have to extinguish the flame. V'tzarech l'chabos esaneros. V'lachzor l'hadlikam bivracha. And then you go back and you light them again with a bracha. The bracha that you made was a bracha of Atala. The bracha that you made previously was meaningless if done in advance of Plag HaMincha. If this has everybody concerned and worried, I don't know, did I ever, maybe one time, in all likelihood, not. It's extremely unusual that we ever have our act together early enough that maybe your family operates very, very differently from mine, but I would wager not. It's very, very unusual, very unlikely to have your act together and be ready to go so far, even in advance of Plag HaMincha. It is something that you do need to be somewhat conscious of if you are making an early Shabbos, like in the summer, which means that, and different shuls do things differently. I'm very proud of the fact that when we do an early Shabbos on in the summer months, that we make a point specifically of davening Mincha before Plag HaMincha, and then davening Kabbal Shabbos Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. That's really the ideal. That's really the most appropriate way of doing it. And therefore, we start thinking about Plag HaMincha as like the onset of Shabbos. It is possible that, especially if, let's say, the following situation, if a woman's actually going to shul, woman is going to shul and trying to get to shul on time, especially for Mincha in that instance, it really is too early to light. That is the one scenario in which you do have to be careful, you do have to be cautious. I think probably this may come up, let's say, like a family simcha sort of thing, where you're like away for Shabbos and your davka going to be in shul and everybody's maybe lighting a shul, and like you run to shul and you get there and it's time for Mincha and maybe Mincha is like 15, 20 minutes in advance of Plag HaMincha and you're like, okay, we're here, we turn the car off, everybody's inside, everybody's in the shul, it's time to be in the Kabbal Shabbos, let's light candles. That is the sort of scenario where you have to be prepared to say, wait a second, I actually have to wait like 15, 20 minutes. So that it's after Plag HaMincha. That's the earliest point at which you can be Yotzi with a mitzvah of Neiro Shabbos and also be Mekabel Shabbos, also accept Shabbos. Filu in Kibo Olavis a Shabbos Bad Lachasa Rishona, even if one were to accept Shabbos the first time you lit candles, that is meaningless. Ki Ein B'Kabbalah Sozu V'lo Klum. Extinguish the candles, put them out, nothing wrong. It's not Chilul Shabbos. What you lost, unfortunately, was that a bracha levatala was made, but you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you relight the candles, and you make the new bracha in order to properly be Mekabel, be Mekabel Shabbos, and also properly be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Neiro Shabbos. U'b'dieved, yatsa gamim hiktim v'hidlik neros lechavod Shabbos v'lo kibel alav Shabbos. U'b'dieved, a person could also be yotzei, if let's say he lit neros for the sake of kavod Shabbos early, but was not actually Mekabel Shabbos. Kol shahay sahad lakum yiplag hamincha ve'elach. Again, maybe I wasn't Mekabel Shabbos, but I just lit the candles. We'll talk about how legitimate that is to do. Is that appropriate? Should a person light Neir Shabbos and say, I'm lighting Neir Shabbos, but I'm not really being Mekabel Shabbos yet. Is that the appropriate thing to do? Is that not the appropriate thing to do? We'll talk about that, probably get to that a little bit more next week, maybe a little bit even tonight. But potentially a person could do that if a person was doing that, was lighting Neiros Shabbos, but not yet being Mekabel Shabbos. Again, Neiros Shabbos still must be lit only from Plag HaMincha and on. In that instance, if they were lit, as long as it was after Plag, Ve'enot Tzarech Lachzor L'Hadlik, you wouldn't need to light Neiros Shabbos again. Mikol Makom, nevertheless. Hamakdim L'Hadlik Neiros Shabbos Uch D'Le'el, Yakpid L'Hadlik Neiros Gedolim Shlichavu Ad Halayla Ad Achrei Hasuda. One more consideration. If you are lighting Neiros Shabbos early, you want to be conscious of the amount of fuel that, let's assume you're using candles or if you're using olive oil. So the amount of fuel or some of the other kinds of fuel that they use for Neiros Shabbos, some of like those clear fuels. So you want to make sure that there is enough fuel in there to be able to last through the time that you're going to be eating. Ideally, ad acharei ha-se'uda, ideally until the se'uda is over. That can be challenging, really, with the regular standard issue Ne'er Shabbos, at least, frankly, I find this in my house, that those regular sized Shabbos candles usually peter out at some point, like in the middle of the se'uda. It's really appropriate, really best, really ideal for those Ne'er Shabbos to be lit in a manner that will carry you through the entirety of the se'uda. So it's another consideration. If you are going to be lighting early for whatever reason, just make sure that you have enough fuel. Usually when you're lighting early, it's also because, let's say, everybody's davening early, going to shul early, or at least in your family, your husband is going to shul early, and then you'll be having the se'uda early as well. So it ends up being the same amount of time that you kind of have to clear from the lighting until the actual se'uda. But in a situation, in a scenario in which you've lit much earlier than, let's say, everybody's davening, going to shul, going to be coming home, make sure that you pack an extra punch in terms of the amount of fuel that's being used. Okay. Lo ya'acher, yud gimel. Lo ya'acher lahadlik. You shouldn't delay lighting. Dahainu samach l'shkiyas sachama. So this is very, but we just spoke about the importance of trying to make it as close to the real zman as possible. It's all on the one hand. On the other hand, you also have to be careful not to get too close to shkia. So we got, let's say you're doing the 18 minutes. So you got this 18 minute cushion between the real time for candle lighting and shkia sachama, sunset. Sunset is when Shabbos really begins. On the one hand, you want to make sure that you get as close to, okay, if I'm keeping 18 minutes, if that's what I'm doing, then you want to light then so that it becomes clear that you're lighting for the purpose of Shabbos and not too early. But at the same time, you also don't want to dive into the 18 minutes, certainly not too far into the 18 minutes, so that you then come upon Shkia itself, upon sunset itself. Why? Because maybe you come to delay even a little bit more, and now it's already after Shkia, or you think it might be near or close to or after Shkia, and then it becomes usher to actually light. Let's say a husband finds that his wife is, you know, running around. It's Erev Shabbos. It's crazy. Crazy things happen. Soap in the baby's eyes in the bathtub, and something's burning in the kitchen. Forgot to put up the rice. And he's scrambling. Everybody's scrambling, running. It's frenzied, and it's crazy. And meanwhile, you know, the husband, who apparently is being very unhelpful, and is not really involved. He's not ensconced in all of that same frenzied craziness. He's just kind of like sitting, you know, cool and even tempered on the side, just watching it all unfold in front of him, aloof to all the goings on. So he realizes, you know what? I'm not sure we're really going to make Dizman here. I can't, like, he's in the middle of 1,000 things, and Shkia is in like 10 minutes. We're well into the 18 minutes now. You know what? Eis lasos l'Hashem. I'm going to get involved here. V'choshesh l'chol Shabbos. He's concerned. He's concerned about a couple of things. He may be concerned that either the Neiros won't get lit at all, or that if the Neiros do get lit, I'm afraid that in all the hustle and bustle, it's going to be lit. They're going to be lit after Shabbos, after Shkia. Mudov she'adlik ba'atzmo. He's better off lighting on his own. V'lo yashgiach b'mcha'as ishto. And don't listen. Here you go. This is as bold as it gets. This is Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa taking everybody's, Shalom Bayis considerations. And he's saying, it's on me. I'm taking responsibility for this. Al yashgiach b'mcha'as ishto. If one's wife protests, so then doesn't matter. Shouldn't listen. And you should go about doing so anyway. So I guess ordinarily, right? It sounds like he's assuming his audience is a husband here. So he's saying, don't worry that your wife is going to yell at you. I think this is a golden opportunity, right? We have many wives on the line here, and it's worth knowing that sometimes when these things happen, when a husband seems to be a bit impetuous in a desire and interest in, let's say, fulfilling a mitzvah and in moving quickly and whatever. It's bound to happen. As much as I try to be cautious, it is bound to happen that at least one night of Hanukkah every year, there's a little bit of a tug of war over, okay, like, let's go. It's this month. We got a lot right now. Like, no, the kids are not ready. You know, we're not ready. Just be calm. What do you mean be calm? It's this month. We got to go. right? As much as everyone tries to remain cool-headed. So those things happen at least once a year. Here, the shoe is sort of on the other foot, that here it's not just a matter of, you know, really, it's ideal. Neres Chanukah, they're supposed to be lit at the proper Zman. Could you technically fulfill the mitzvah yet afterwards? You could. So should we wait? Can we wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, get the kids together? Let's have a cool head about it. Let's make it be beautiful and everybody's happy and there's Shalom Bayis. So all good. But here what's at stake, what's on the line is potential Chilul Shabbos. She doesn't realize, right? This is all in the husband's mind. She doesn't realize that the clock is really, really ticking down. I better go about doing this. So if you see this sort of thing, know that the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa has instructed your husband to light candles himself and try not to get too upset about it. He's been instructed not to listen to any protest of his wife. So Chilul Shabbos is at stake. Which, by the way, even if this exact scenario really never plays itself out, hopefully this sensitizes us to the degree to which we really do need to be very careful, very cautious, very mindful of the time. It is ideal, it's proper, it's appropriate that Neir Shabbos should be lit at the right Zman 18 minutes before Shkia. If it doesn't happen and you find that you're 2 minutes into the 18 minutes and you're 5 minutes into the 18 minutes and you're 8 minutes into the 18 minutes, got to be so cautious, so very, very careful that we not run afoul of actually being Mechal Shabbos, lighting Neir Shabbos in the interest of performing the mitzvah, fulfilling the mitzvah of Neir Shabbos. That's really backwards. Mitzvah lezarez es b'nei habayis. He says it's a mitzvah to try to hurry all the people in your house, all the b'nei bayis along with sayyem, don't think this means that, you know, the husband, father should like just be sitting on the couch, calm, cool, and collected with one of those director cones, you know, placed close to his mouth, just barking out or like a megaphone. Hey, hurry up. This man is almost here. Remember to hurry. Right. It means that husbands should be involved, should get involved, and they should do their best to try to help everybody along with all the hachanos for Shabbos, so that Shabbos can be taken in at the proper time, so that Neiros can be lit at the proper time. V'lola acheras hazman, not to delay it. The asa zos b'lashon raka. Ah, more Shalom Bayis advice. Do all of this calmly, gently, sweetly. Be helpful. Lend a hand. Lend encouragement. What can I do? How can I help? So, a little bit of advice for wives, a little bit of advice for husbands, and hopefully we can get through all of this on a weekly basis, still maintaining Shalom Bayis. Let's remember that the reason why you light Neir Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis. If that seems ironically counterintuitive, then let's remember that's the idea. We want to go into Shabbos in a mood that's serene, but then we're lighting Neir Shabbos for that purpose, to lend ambiance and to lend atmosphere, proper dignity and cover to Shabbos. So we don't want to violate all of that by making breges and getting into a big brouhaha right in advance of Shabbos, all in the interest of lighting Neiros at the proper time. Okay. Having said all of that, Avar Zman HaAdlaka, says Rav Neuvert, Yod Dalet. Avar Zman HaAdlaka. Let's say the time passes. Let's say the time is over. That's it. The Hainu Shashaka HaKamah V'Yiyah Zman Bein HaShemashos. You're already in Bein HaShemashos. It's already sunset. So we're not even talking about Tzeis HaKochavim. We're not talking about right now. Shkia, I think, is at something like 4:40. Assume that Tzeis HaKochavim is, you know, something like 5:20, 5:22, somewhere around there, 5:20. So we're not even talking about the 5:20 mark. We're talking about 4:40 or so, somewhere around there. That's Bein HaShemashos, and that is Shabbos for all intents and purposes. That is Shabbos. Any malacha that gets done from that point and on is an Isser Daraisa. Oh, afilu rak suffik im shaka hachama. Even if you're only that, you're not sure. I don't have time. I can't look up my zman. I'm not sure. I don't have the luach on me. I'm not sure that this watch is exactly correct. Maybe I still have 2 minutes. How long does it take to just light a match and light a couple of nerves? Maybe I still have a couple of minutes. I'm not sure. It could be this watch says I'm past the time. The other one said, but this is usually fast. I'm not sure. If you have a suffik, it's a suffik of Chilul Shabbos. It's a suffik da oraisa. Of course, suffik da oraisa l'chumra. We have to be strict. We have to be extra cautious, extra careful, extra machmir when it comes to an iser da oraisa. And that's exactly what we have in our hands. Don't light. Don't light. Even if Here's another situation. You know for a fact that it's not Shkia. But you know what else you know for a fact? Aval HaTzibur kvar kibel es haShabbos ali de amiras boi v'shalom. You know that the Tzibur already accepted Shabbos. If the Tzibur already accepted Shabbos, then I'm bound by the Tzibur. When exactly this applies, to what degree this applies, to make it very, very simple, it's clear that this applies in a community in which there is only one minyan. Once you get into the reality of multiple minyanim, it's unclear that anybody is really bound by anything that's happening with any of the other minyanim. But to make it very, very straightforward, let's say you're in camp for Shabbos. If you're working at a camp, let's say you're in a bungalow colony for Shabbos. Let's say you're in a small, small community. Go for a Shabbos to, I don't know, somebody has a simcha in Toledo. Whatever it is, there is one shul. There's one shul, there's one minyan on Friday night, and they've decided that they're davening early. If they are davening early, they're makabel Shabbos early, then everybody in the entire community is makabel Shabbos early. It is foisted, it's imposed upon them. So if you know that you're past that point, that they said, whatever it is, depending on the Shabbos, they said, Boi v'shalom of l'chadodi. Oh, al yidei amiras mizmor shir li yom ha-Shabbos. He said mizmor shir li yom ha-Shabbos, which is a kabbal so Shabbos. B'Shabbos samach v'yom tov, v'yom tov shechal b'Shabbos, b'makab shenogim lo lomer l'chadodi. He's talking about situations in which maybe you're not saying l'chadodi, let's say Shabbos chol ha-moed, any of these different possibilities where either you're not saying l'chadodi, therefore you're not coming to the final stanza of Boi v'shalom, which is usually an acceptance of Shabbos, and instead you're just skipping straight to mizmor shir li yom ha-Shabbos. This is all in kabbal Shabbos. That is an official Kabbalah Shabbos. Think about what we call it. We call it Kabbalah Shabbos. It's because through those tefillos, we accept Shabbos upon ourselves. If the tzibur has accepted Shabbos upon themselves, then the entire community, mineu bei, whether you like it or not, the entire community has accepted Shabbos. We actually did this morning in shul. This is true. This is true even for a person who's traveling to that community. So again, so you just have a simcha in this community, in this one shul town, in this small outlying neighborhood of, I don't know, wherever. You're in Yehopetz for a simcha. And there's one shul, and that one shul is davening early. The one shul is davening early. So al yidei amiras barchu. Oh, al yidei amiras barchu. Or by the way, maybe there are a couple of shuls, but both those shuls are both davening early. Oh, al yidei amiras barchu. Shel tefilas arvis. Or let's say they recite barchu, if let's say no Kabbal Shabbos for whatever reason is being said at all. So ein od kol heter lahadlik neir Shabbos. There is no longer any permission, any permissibility to light neir Shabbos. That's it. It's Shabbos now. Either because it's actually Shabbos, because it's Shkia, or I think it might be Shkia, or because the Tzibur has accepted Shabbos. It is Shabbos now. You cannot light neir Shabbos. Umotov lasheves b'choshech. Strong words, powerful words, important words. Umotov lasheves b'choshech. You're better off sitting in darkness, abject darkness. When we think about not lighting Neir Shabbos, it's never dark. You got lights on. You got the overheads on. There's plenty of light in the house. Ah, Nebuch, okay, I missed Neir Shabbos. This applies even when those would have been your only lights, when you were lighting candles and exclusively candles for the very illumination of your home. You're better off sitting in darkness, having a dark Shabbos. Va'afilu levatel se'udah Shabbos. Even to say that it's impossible, there's no way that I could possibly eat my Seudah Shabbos here because I can't see the food, I can't see the table, I can't see the chair, I can't see the food. Mamish, dark, pitch black. You're better off having that sort of a Shabbos. I mean, a yachol is od b'chashecha if it's impossible for him to eat a Seudah in the darkness. Please just don't be Mechal Shabbos by means of Hadlakas Neros. At this point, you think it's the greatest mitzvah in the world. It's not greater than being Mechal Shabbos. Being Mechal Shabbos is far too steep a price to pay for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. And it goes without saying, I hope, but I'll mention it anyway. I think I mentioned this in the past. This is something that we should be cautious about when it comes to, let's say, sending people out of the house or getting into a car ourselves, potentially. But sending people out of the house, somebody's going to catch me, husband's going to catch mincha. Husband's going to shul, son is going to shul, father, if you can, you know, convince him otherwise, going to shul, and you're like looking at the clock, and you know, I don't know, if it takes you 30 seconds to get to shul, you'll be okay. If it takes you 45 seconds to get to shul, you'll be mechal Shabbos da oraisa every time you hit the accelerator. Please don't go to shul right now. Oh, what do you mean I'm going to miss mincha? It's okay. It's okay. I'm a Chulio. Hashem is my Chulio. It's okay. Please don't get into a car right now. In the interest of, sometimes we can get like so caught, right? So caught, and I'm doing this, and I've just wrapped my head around it, and I'm so in the moment. You got to just take a big step back, and to whatever degree you can help facilitate that, taking a big step back for anybody that may be around you, just take a big step back, breathe, think through this. Hashem doesn't want your mincha b'tzibur, and you missed field b'tzibur anyway by this point, no likelihood. Hashem doesn't want your mincha b'tzibur at the expense of Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos is far too steep a price to pay for what? For making sure that your car is there on Motzei Shabbos, that you can drive home after Shabbos. It's okay, it's all right. So you'll be home late on Motzei Shabbos. It's okay. So you won't go to shul tonight. It's okay. It's okay. You'll go next week. You'll go next week. I don't mean to give carte blanche to people to not go to shul, especially on Shabbos, but it's sensibilities and priorities, and having a little bit of a compass as to what's what. What is the hierarchy? More important, first and foremost, to keep Shabbos, then we could worry about davening and going to shul on Shabbos. However, having said all that, while you're sitting in concern, and here you've rallied yourself to be Meiser Nefesh and to not light Neir Shabbos, and you're having a completely dark, blackened Shabbos, bear in mind that while it's still Ben Hashmashos, so between this period, after Shkia, before Tzeis HaKochavim, Shabbos has already started, but it's not yet Tzeis HaKochavim, it's not yet really nightfall, Adzman Muat Samach Tzeis HaKochavim. So long as there's yet still a bit of time before Tzeis HaKochavim, it is mutter to ask a non-Jew for assistance, to ask a non-Jew for help. We're learning about the halachas of Amir Lanachar, Amir La'akam right now in Smichas Chaver, and that's fascinating, fascinating stuff, really, really practical stuff. We've done some of those halachos here as well, I think. During this period, we should be aware of the fact that despite the fact that it really is Shabbos, it is mutter to ask a non-Jew during Bein Hashmashos to do work for us, even though it's Shabbos for us. So I wasn't able to like get everything in order. It was just crazy. We were running, we were traveling, we barely got home, we barely got in the house. And I didn't get a chance in lighting Neir Shabbos and even turning on the lights in the dining room. It's just, it's crazy. But so long as it's not yet Tzeis HaKochavim, you have like about 40 minutes of sway there, of slack, when you can go knock on your neighbor's door, a non-Jewish neighbor's door, and ask for some assistance, ask for some help. Would you mind? I just got home. Could you turn the lights on for me? Could you turn on the plata? Could you do this? Could you do that? Okay, Lahad Lekner, could they low Lios Bechoshet Leil Shabbos? This way you don't have to sit in darkness on Leil Shabbos. Umutr lo l'nachri af l'harbos b'neir Shabbos. Not only that, it's not only to ask the Nachri, to ask the non-Jew for the bare minimum. You could even ask him to increase. So once he's doing it, ask for the works. Ask for as many Neiros as you usually light, or ask for him to turn on. Yeah, can you turn on both like the hi-hats and also the chandelier and also the sconces and also light some candles? Asking for whatever you like during that time. Karagel b'sha'ar Shabbos Hashanah, just like any other Shabbos of the year. Mutar lomer lo l'hadlik neiros Shabbos karagil. You can ask him to light the neiros Shabbos like you usually do. Af im daluk or chashmal bedira. Even if there's already electrical lighting, you could still ask. You could still ask him to light neiros Shabbos. You want to have neiros Shabbos. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah directly, but you want to have your neiros Shabbos for the ambiance, for the look. It should look like a regular, traditional, normal Shabbos. Ask the non-Jew to light them for you, even though there's still plenty of light otherwise in the rest of the house, in the rest of the room. Obviously, you can't actually make a bracha on that which the Nachri, that which the non-Jew did, that which the non-Jew lit. Once we're close to Tzeis HaKochavim, ein kol heter afilu lomar l'nachri sheyad l'kner. You can no longer ask the non-Jew to light the candle. Gam im yitztarech l'shabbos b'choshech. Even if that means that you'll otherwise have to spend Shabbos in darkness. Now, there may be, this then gets into a whole world of when is it mutter to, in some other scenarios, and other based on other conditions, to potentially ask a non-Jew for help, for assistance to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Even if you didn't ask a non-Jew, it is nevertheless, this is very surprising to many people, even if you didn't ask the non-Jew to do work for you. I didn't ask. They did it. They just sensed. They had a sense that, oh, they just drove up. They asked of their own volition, can I help? Can I turn on these? It's so dark. Can I turn on those lights for you? And you say, no. Well, you know, it would be, sure, listen, who wants to spend the whole Shabbos in darkness? I didn't really ask, certainly not directly. You can't derive benefit from malacha than a non-Jew does for you under most circumstances. So this becomes a whole other topic of conversation, whole other shiur for another time. If anybody has any husbands are in smichas chavri, you're welcome to ask. We can have a conversation about this another time. But this gets very involved. Not our topic for now. Under certain circumstances, it is mutter to potentially ask a non-Jew for help doing malacha. Under certain circumstances, in certain ways, we kind of know about hinting. Hinting is not the be-all and end-all. Oftentimes, hinting is still usser. And under certain circumstances, although it is ordinarily usser to derive benefit from anything that a non-Jew does for me on Shabbos, under certain circumstances, I could derive some benefit depending on how that work was done. Not for now, topic for a different time, conversation for a different time. Tesvav, ikra shel mitzvah, hu ha'adlaka shel madlikim b'makom ha'achilas. This is important. We spent time so far talking about the when. What about the where? Where do you light? Where should these Neir Shabbos actually be? Primary mitzvah, and as he alluded to before, Rav Neuwirth mentioned that really Neir Shabbos should last throughout the entirety of the Seuda. Obviously, you can connect the dots on this one. Obviously, that's only relevant if they're actually present for the Seuda. So, Ikar Shalom Mitzvah, he Hadlaka Shemadlikim, B'makom Ha'achila. The primary mitzvah of Hadlaka's Neir Shabbos is for them to be lit in the place where we are eating. We're Elah Halon, Perak Nadal, Tzifan Adalid. The Al Hadlaka, some Shel Neiros, Elam Mivarchim. It is these Neiros that we make the bracha on. So, we might be lighting Neiros all over our homes. Indeed, we still do. And we should have Kavana. And there is value in davka turning them on, off, and then on again for this purpose. Turning the lights off, and when I turn the lights on, like a light switch, I'm turning them on, I'm having kavanah, I'm doing this for Kavod Shabbos. I'm doing this for Kavod Shabbos, I'm doing this for Shalom Bayis, I'm doing this to create a safe environment, a proper environment, an enjoyable environment for Shabbos, and to do so with kavanah. But you don't make a bracha on those lights. You make a bracha only on the lights that are lit in the area where we're really going to be spending our time and where we're going to be eating. So, that being the case, here's an interesting conversation. Maybe we should have had a couple months ago at this point. It's ideal to try to light the neros in the sukkah, if that's at all feasible. Why? So you can eat by the light of the neros Shabbos or of the neros Yom Tov, where we're going to be having our seudos. However, im kayam chashash, if any fear exists, that perhaps the neighbors are going to go out, they're going to be extinguished because of a passing wind, depending on how well insulated your sukkah is, depending on what you might have to protect the actual neighbors themselves. You saw those like glasses, the open-ended glasses that keep the wind out, but still allow oxygen in so that the flame continues to burn, if you could pick them up. But if there's a concern that they're going to be extinguished, that's what he's talking about. You haven't devised anything. You haven't prepared any sort of fix, any sort of contraption to properly protect and block the candles from the wind. Or if God forbid, have any sort of concern that these candles might get out of control, might actually burn down the sukkah or lead to a fire or something terrible. Lo aleinu. So then, in that instance, yadikum b'bayis, then you could light them in the home. So you won't be eating right next to them, but at least when you do so, when you light them in the home, at least b'makom shabo mechinim tzarchei ha'seuda, at least it should be somewhat attached, somewhat connected to the meal, to the seuda. At least have them lit in the place where you're going to be preparing the tzarchei seuda. Light them in the kitchen. So that as you're plating food to then be brought out to the sukkah, you're still benefiting from the light of the Neir Shabbos. I'm not sure if it's at all possible. Sometimes you have this, that a window from the kitchen or the sliding glass doors from the dining room lead directly into the sukkah. And if you light them on the other side of that door, if you light them on the other side of that window, so they're protected and no concern about burning the sukkah down, no concern hopefully about burning the house down, no concern about them being extinguished by the wind blowing around outside. And yet, you can still see the light through the window, and you can still eat in the candlelight that's being that's being generated by the Neiros Shabbos. Yad l'kaneres b'chalon haponel etzad ha-sukkah, light them in a window that's facing out towards the sukkah, k'dei she'yagia oram l'sukkah. This way, the light reaches the actual sukkah. Gam b'sha'ara chadarim, just mentioned this, even in other rooms, shebehem mishtamshim b'leil Shabbos, they plan on using for Leil Shabbos, because that's when it's dark. That's when traditionally, certainly you really need light. We're accustomed to having light, you know, lights on all the time, lights on all the time, lights on in the middle of the day. But certainly Leil Shabbos. So if I'm going to be in the den, I want to play a game with the kids afterwards. I want to read or learn on the couch or in the kitchen, wherever. So even in those other rooms, v'chein b'pros dorim, also in those sort of like hallways, v'cheder hamadregot, or let's say like stairwells, if you're in an apartment building, you need to have light there. That is a fulfillment of Neiros Shabbos. That's a fulfillment of Shalom Bayis. There are two different aspects, two dimensions to lighting Neiros Shabbos. There is Kavod Shabbos, and there is Shalom. There's Shalom Bayis, creating a safe atmosphere, safe environment so that I can walk around without bumping into things. Things should be well illuminated. Then there's Kavod Shabbos. It creates a beautiful atmosphere and ambiance and avira. That really pertains much more centrally to the area in which we're going to eat. But certainly the fulfillment of Shalom Bayis, that applies everywhere. And where we're going to be needs to be well-lit, needs to be well-illuminated. There should be some sort of light, that is allowed into these areas. We don't make a bracha on these neiros, but we should still make a point of doing so, of keeping them, of lighting them, of turning the lights on, and also having kavanah when we do it. This is a fulfillment of this mitzvah. Isha marba b'neiros Shabbos, a woman who lights many neiros on Shabbos, at least two of those lights should be lit. Two of those candles should be lit in the Makom Achila. Again, we don't think along these lines. However many, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, however many candles you light all in the same spot. I think this is where I keep my Shabbos lech. This is where it is. Right? So whether I have, you know, two or 10 or 40 or whatever, this is how many I have. I keep them all together. Can imagine that when neiros were used in a more utilitarian sense to actually illuminate the home, you might want to spread them around. But you should make sure that you have two. Remember, two are primarily we have two for Zachar and Shamor, two mitzvos of Shabbos, two categories of mitzvos of Shabbos. Those, you should at least have two that are in the area where we're going to eat. I'm sorry, Isham Hamar B'nei Shabbos, Tapish L'Fachos, Shnei Neiros Yidlaku B'makom HaAchila, at least two in the place where we're going to eat. Yidlu HaShar HaNeiros Yicholol HaHadlik B'chadarim HaAcherim, you can light the others wherever you so choose, wherever you feel like. Tess Zayin. Neiros shakavu ba'od yom b'shel, shakavu ba'od yom b'shel ruach v'chadoma. Let's say before it was actually Shabbos, the lights already go out. The neiros already are extinguished. Why? Because you open the window, wind blew, kids are running back and forth, and they go out, they're extinguished. So the truth is that mitzvah lashuvu hadlikam, it's a mitzvah to rekindle them. V'yadlikam mishaterem kibel asher Shabbos. Who should do that? Chances are, if I lit the Neiros Shabbos, I already was mekabel Shabbos. Maybe there's somebody else in the home. Maybe my husband didn't go to the shul. Maybe there's a neighbor who's still around. Maybe this, maybe that. Somebody is around who has not yet been mekabel Shabbos, and I can ask them to still light Neiros Shabbos, to reignite the Neiros Shabbos, relight the Neiros Shabbos. Then birech al Neiros b'shas hadlaka. If the bracha was already made the first time before they went out, before kids came breezing through and put the candles out. So then, lo yachzor b'yivarech shenis, a second bracha should not be made. We say that that first bracha was already substantial. The mitzvah was already accomplished to a certain degree, even though they should really be relit. We have a similar halacha for Neiros Chanukah. The kol makom yakpid lahadlik Neiros Shabbos b'makom shalot tichbe usam haruach. However, you should be very careful. Be very careful. Try to pick a spot that's either high up off the ground, that's tucked away in a corner, someplace where an open window, a chance opening of a door, kids running through the home, where that's not going to extinguish the neiros. Think through that spot and pick your place wisely. V'gam lo yamidam karov ladelos, don't leave them close to a door. Shem yichavu impesichasa, lest they blow out every time the door is open or at some point when the door is open. So I think we mentioned this before. Ideally, the neiros should really remain lit all the way until the end of the seuda. L'fachos, at the very least, yilku b'sha'as kiddush utchilas ha'se'udah. So this, I think, we always achieve, but to get them to go the regular size near Shabbos, don't quite make it, I find, all the way till the end of the se'udah. I guess it depends on how quickly you're able to get home from shul and how close a walk you have and how quick your se'udah goes, etc. But this is just what I've found personally. But at the very least, for them to get through, for them to still be lit for Kiddush, for them to still be lit for the beginning of the Su'udah, at least. If you're lighting very, very short candles that go out after just a short period of time, think like the little Hanukkah candles, if we would use those as Ne'er Shabbos, if you really haven't benefited from them at all for the needs of the Su'udah Shabbos, whether eating at least, as we mentioned, for Sukkot, at least like setting the table, that kind of thing, then the reality is the institution of the bracha, the true full fulfillment of Ne'er Shabbos, is when we are lighting Ne'eros that help facilitate the Se'udah. If they haven't facilitated the Se'udah in any which way, that's not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and you should strongly consider getting larger, thicker, longer candles. Again, the standard issue Shabbos candles certainly get you, I think under most circumstances, get you at least until Kiddush and into a good chunk of the Se'udah as well. One final point here. Do whatever you need to do. Baruch Hashem, this is very easy with electrical lighting. But whatever you need to do to ensure that there's at least some measure of light to be able to allow people to enjoy themselves, again, be safe, not bump into things, so that people can see where they're going even after the Se'udah, as long as people are still awake. If people are still awake, then there should be lights on. Even if, let's say, you use timers and use timers to turn lights off, don't have them go off too early. Don't have them go off prematurely. Make sure that they're going off once everybody has certainly gone off to bed and is tucked away. But as long as people are up in the home, you should have a well-lit home. It should be beautiful. It should be a beautiful space. It should be a space that conveys an atmosphere, a feeling of Shabbos, and also shalom. Shalom bias, that it's a safe space. It's a space where we're not going to be bumping into doors and bumping or stubbing our toe against the couch. We can see where we're going, that it's a beautiful, well-lit, well-illuminated space for Shabbos. Okay, let's pause it here. We'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next time with Kabbalah Shabbos, Hadlakas Neros. Before we log off, any questions about Hadlakas Neros or any other assorted, associated issues? Straightforward?
Yeah, Rabbi.
Yeah, please.
I've often heard that it's a machlokus if you should light where you eat or where you're sleeping. So, like, how strong is it when he says you should light where you're eating? Like,
So to be fair, what he is talking about is when, let's assume you're going to be home. Let's assume you're going to be home. So you're in the home, should I light? You should light where you're going to eat. You should light where you're going to eat. It does create a little bit of a, generally speaking, you should be lighting at home. You should be lighting at home. You should be lighting in your actual home. So what if I'm not eating at home on Friday night and I'm going to be out? So this is an important point. You should gain some measure of hana'a from the Ne'er Shabbos, even if you're not going to be eating there. So like if I'm going to be eating out on Friday night, then what am I using the Ne'er Shabbos for at all? Should make a point of taking some before you go over to wherever it is that you're eating, to your host. Make a point, take a book, read by the light of the candles, make a point of doing that. Generally speaking, that is what we do. That's the default setting. If you're going to be home, if you're going to be sleeping at home and it's your home, that's where you're living, then that's really where you should be lighting. In a scenario in which you're strictly being hosted for sleeping and you're not eating any of your se'udos in that location, you're eating your se'udos out completely. Somebody will come and check out the community for a Shabbos, right? And they might be sleeping in one place, but they're eating Friday night in one home, and then they're eating Shabbos day in another home. And really, they might be, snacking in the person's home. But for the most part, they're really not. It happens to be if they're living there and sleeping there, and they're going to be enjoying some kind of like Onik Shabbos piece of cake when they come back home and, eating in the afternoon, they could still light where they sleep. But in those situations where you're really not eating at your host at all, especially like a family simcha, where you're really, the expectation is that you are completely like eating with your family at shul or at their home or whatever, then you really should light where you're eating. And that's usually how it goes. There's usually like kamakas neiros that are set up wherever the, you know, the Friday night seuda is set up. And that's really where people then should light. What he's talking about is when you're lighting at home. So where in my home, should I put them? Then put them where you're going to be eating. If you're going to be staying at home and it is your home, then you should generally be lighting there. And in that sort of situation where you're not going to gain hana because you're going to be in another home, let's say Friday night, make a point of trying to gain some sort of benefit from those neros on Friday night.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Great. Wonderful. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks very much for coming on and looking forward to picking up next week.
Rabbi, question for you for the Sunday morning program. Any way you could put it on Zoom?
Oh, that's such a question. Can I say in the interim, let me say this, recording for sure. And Zoom, I have to think through a little bit. If we do it on Zoom, I'll certainly send out a link. Otherwise, at the very least, it'll certainly be recorded.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll be driving up to Canada to see our son and family. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Safe travels.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Excellent.
Take care. Good job. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.